Today is family service, and which simply means that all of our kids are up from New Life Kids, and they're worshiping Jesus with us, and we believe so much in family that it is a very important thing to us, and it's important that kids learn how to worship God with their parents. And they also get to learn some exciting biblical truths in kids' ministry downstairs with Callie and her team, which is amazing. And they apparently dance a lot. So we're excited. If you're a guest with us, like I said, my name is Dave and I am the pastor here. And I want to just welcome you. Most of you that are guests are here because of a baptism service. And we're excited about it. What a day of celebration. And we're excited. I got two girls down here that are pumped. They're like, so yeah, today's special. And oh, there we go. We got a guest with us. Everybody say hi, King Carl.
Who are these people? Oh, who are these people?
Hi.
Where am I?
Hi, King Carl. How are you?
Scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm at.
Why are you scared?
I don't know where I'm at.
Oh, you're at New Life Church, where you're always at.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I was dreaming.
No, you're not dreaming. Hey, King Carl, how are you today? Good? You look as old as ever. How you feeling? Yeah?
Angry now.
Angry now. I made him mad. Well, King Carl, today is a special day because we're celebrating baptism, and we're going to talk a little bit about what baptism is. It's an important thing because it's a key fundamental foundation of the Christian faith is water baptism. And so, and I'm going to bring some clarity to the subject of baptism. It is the most powerful and influential life-altering experience that I believe a believer will go through if they truly know and understand the purpose of and the power of baptism. Ooh. Have you ever been baptized?
Once?
Yes. Where were you baptized?
In Chicago.
Gotcha.
On the O block?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, if you're a guest with us, he is out of control half the time. Just going to give you a heads up. So, King Carl,
yes,
do you know what the significance of water baptism is?
Number one.
No, I'm going to share that with.
Okay. Well, there's four reasons.
There is four reasons that we're going to go over.
You talked to me before, and you said make sure to tell them four reasons.
Four reasons.
He told me that.
Yes.
I'm looking at all of you. Four reasons.
The first reason is. Water baptism is a command. It's not an option. It's a command. Jesus commanded his disciples before he left earth to go and make disciples and baptize, which brings us our first Bible heads verse. You want to share the Bible head verse? Kids, you got your Bibles? You got your Bibles. Adults, if you got your Bibles, no cheating. I'm going to take the first three that get their Bible heads on.
I'm doing the verse.
You're going to share the verse. Just give them the verse name, the number. So where it's found.
It's an honor. Thank you.
You're so welcome, King. Okay, give them the verse. Okay. He's so emotional. Give them the verse. First three.
Challenge. Your verses. Matthew 28:18-20. Go!
Matthew 28:18-20. First three Bible heads. Got one right here. Got one right here. Okay, you save it for later. Boom, one there. One back there. I got him. Here's one here. Here we go, back there. Give him a round of applause. Yay!
I'm a mess, Dave. I'm a mess.
Yeah, you're a mess. So the reason that we do Bible head challenge, so just so you know, is it's important for our children to know how to navigate the Word of God. And so we do they do it downstairs in kids ministry, and we do it up here, teaching them to be able to get through the Word of God, find out where things are, and so they know. So that's one of the core things that they learn downstairs.
It's a really good thing to learn.
Matt, you want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
I can read it.
Okay. Okay. Follow along with King Carl.
I get to read it.
Yeah, oh, geez, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
be calm. Read it clearly, slowly.
I threw my nose.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
The verse goes as such. 4 1-pound soup recipe.
No.
Oh, wrong thing.
Wrong thing.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," underline bold, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." 20. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you," period. "And I surely am with you always and to the very end of the age," period. Quote.
Perfect. So the first.
Did it do a good day?
You did good. You did good. It did good. Man, he's sensitive today. So the first step or choice that Jesus calls us to take as Christ followers, if we're really going to follow him, is to be baptized according to that scripture. King Carl.
Oh, yes.
So what does that say?
Okay, basically, in layman's terms. Sorry, I'm really emotional. Started new vitamins. So Jesus basically saying, after you place your faith in him, not me, I want you to let the world know that you belong to me by being baptized.
That's right. That's right. King Carl, let me ask you this, because you are really, really old, right?
No.
Yeah.
You 100,000 years old.
Okay, so you're a few years old. So do you know what the Greek word for baptism is?
Euro.
No. Oh. That's a Greek sandwich.
Olive?
Nope.
What does it start with?
It starts with a B.
What does it end with?
An O.
What's the second letter? It's a harmless hint. Come on.
It starts with a B, A.
Okay, and the third?
T.
And the fourth?
I.
And the fifth?
Z.
And then the last again?
O.
Okay, baptismo.
Baptizo.
Oh, yep.
There's no M.
That's what I said.
Yeah, in the Greek, there's no M there. That's right, baptizo.
Right.
Baptizo. And it means literally to immerse or submerge, right?
Right.
Going back to your old Greek days, right? It means to immerse or submerge. Now there are six people here today that are making the choice. There's more than six, but six people that are going to get baptized today. They're making the choice to follow Jesus, at his command and getting baptized in water.
Can I say something to them?
You can say something to them.
Good job. I'm so proud of you. In my many, 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 many years of living, I've seen a lot of people be baptized, and it's amazing. Good job to you.
Okay, I think it's time to say goodbye to King Carl. So everybody say bye, King Carl.
I don't want to go.
Time to go. Well, you're leaving us. We're not leaving. Bye. Oh my gosh, King Carl. He's emotional, isn't he? All right. So baptism isn't as all about just being saved, the salvation. It's about the identification, right? Being identified as a Christ follower, right? That you belong to Jesus. So it's saying that my sins are washed away and I'm going to make the decision to take the next step in obedience by being baptized, whether I've been a Christian for 2 days or 22 years. It's making that step to identify yourself in Jesus. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? If it makes sense, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, in the early church, there was really a sense of urgency when it come to this that was attached to baptism. So the first scripture, I'm going to give a few scriptures here that give an example of that urgency. The first one is Acts 2:38. They should be on the screen. It says, "When the people responded to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do is repent and what? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We further see in verse 41 that the people gladly received the message of Christ and were baptized. Here's another example, and this one's one of my favorites. It's Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. It's the story of Philip. and the Ethiopian eunuch leads him to Christ. And it says this, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, that's the Ethiopian eunuch, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in his chariot. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. It's out of Isaiah. It said, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please who this prophet is talking about. Is it himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It was talking about Jesus paying the debt that we couldn't pay for our sins on the cross. And so as they traveled along the road, they came upon some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. I think that's hilarious. Look, water. Right? What can stand in the way of my being baptized? What is hindering me from being baptized? And Philip baptized him right there in the water. It was exciting, right? And then in Acts chapter 26 or 22 verse 16 is where we see chapter 22, we see the conversion of Saul to Paul, right? You hear that? You know that story? And Paul is told to be baptized after his conversion. And so you see those three stories. All these people took a simple act of faith to receive the message of Jesus Christ, that he came and he died on a cross to pay for our sins, right? But that example, they didn't see their faith complete until they were baptized in water, right? And so that's identifying themselves with Jesus. You got that? Number two, water baptism is a declaration of our faith and commitment to Jesus. That's the second foundational thing that we see, the importance of being baptized. Water baptizing is really stepping out from under the guilt and the shame of sinful life and insecurity, and boldly then saying, I am a new creation. I'm new. My old is gone because Jesus forgave me of my sins, gave me a clean slate, and now I'm boldly standing in him. Make sense? If it makes sense, say, uh-huh. Right on. It's saying my old life is behind me now, and my new life, I'm a new person, I'm a new creation. And we demonstrate to the world our identification in Jesus, and that he was crucified and risen, and that's what takes place in baptism. The six folks that are going to come here are basically saying to all of you that I believe that Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and is now alive, sitting next to Heavenly Father on the right hand of God. That's what they're going to be proclaiming today by being baptized. Think about, the next one is this. Number three, water baptism is a funeral. Think about it, right? They are dying to the old man, the old woman, the old sinful nature when they go underwater. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and to all us around here that the person that they were before, they are no longer that person. Right? Does that make sense? That's dead and buried, and they are raised a new creation in God. Now, the crazy thing about this in the first century church, you guys all know the stories of John the Baptist, right? He was baptizing people in water. And there, it was really significant because they would stand in the water and everybody on the shore, they were confessing their sins to them. They were repenting to the people. This was who I was. And then they were baptized with water and they came up, and then that represented them being new. That wasn't who they were anymore. Could you imagine having to stand in front of this group of people and say, man, I did this and this and this and this, and God forgave me of this? Would you guys like to do that? How about you girls? You want to do that? No. That's the awesome thing, right? But that was first century. Okay, that was how it was. And we talked about Paul a few minutes ago, and he tells us in Romans 6:1-6, he says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so great that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin, who can live. How can we live in it any longer? Excuse me. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were then therefore buried in him, with him through water baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we have certainly also been united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So what that's basically saying is that water baptism is a public burial of the old self, to put it in a nutshell, okay? This is another reason that why we baptize in immersion and not sprinkle or pour, is because it represents the burial and resurrection of Jesus, right? That's a major significant thing. So kids, Bible head challenge number 2, you ready? We got 3 more. I'm going to take the 3 more. And let's go 3 that haven't won yet, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 3. Boom, I got one back there. Got one right, no? Nope, the one there, one there. Perfect. Got here. This is the first 3 that I saw. Coming in hot. There we go. Good job. Let's give them a round of applause. That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys are amazing. And what this scripture says is this, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new one has begun. So let me wrap this up with number 4. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and get ready. So number 4 is this: water baptism is a resurrection. Okay, we were just talking about it symbolizes what Christ did on the cross. That he came, lived a sinful life, died on a cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then resurrected. You got it there? Perfect, perfect. Callie, Brant, thanks for helping out. Just put that bad boy over there. Right, water baptism says I'm dead to the old self, the old ways, right? The old habits, the old way of living. From this day forward, I live a life that brings glory and honor to God. That is what they're going to be declaring today when they get baptized, right? That's the significance of this. Romans 6:8 says, for if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, he's talking to us, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying there is, once you've made this declaration, once you've followed this step of obedience, made the declaration of identifying yourself with Christ, you go underwater, that's the death, and then, or you accept Christ, you get in this wonderful baptismal tank that we spent lots of money on, and then you die, you're buried, and you raise again, then what Paul is saying is you're no longer going back to play with dead things and dead people and dead stuff, right? The old is gone, right? Now, does that mean that you're going to be perfect? No, it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It means that you are now saying, I'm going to live my life in Jesus, and I'm going to work really hard at following him with everything that I am, and everything that I do, and everything that I say, everything that I think. It's a process, right? But you're now identifying into the death, burial, and resurrection. In verse 12, it goes on and says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather, everybody say, but rather. Offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. So, this is a significant day in these six folks' lives. We got three New Life kids and three adults. And it's awesome to be able to step that. And I'm going to invite you that are being baptized to come on front, come up front, just stand on each side as you're coming up. Bring your towels with you. And they got these snazzy shirts that just talks about one of the scriptures that we just talked about, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And as they're making their way up, here's the thing. The last thing I want to talk about baptism is this. Being baptized in water is not being baptized into a church. It's being baptized into Christ Jesus. Right? They're all members of this church body, but it's not being baptized into New Life Church. It's being baptized into New Life in Jesus.